ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Nosebleeds here on WFUV Sports. Anthony Smith alongside Henry Olth and Austin Ashantino. We're going to be talking a little bit of World Baseball Classic just wrapped up on Tuesday night. But first, guys, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, March Madness started today, as we were talking about before the show, and TCU got the first win. So I know a few people in here already chasing the perfect bracket.
Not me, though. But I did pick Ohio State. At least Nebraska won, though. But a week has been not so bad.
You know, 1-1 ain't so bad, though. It's a good 500.
Did anybody take Troy over Nebraska? Like, no.
No. I was thinking about it.
I was on the line.
It had to be like a 95% pick. Yeah. And somebody was like,
Nebraska. Nebraska has never won one in their history. So I was considering picking Troy.
But neither is Troy, right?
No, I feel like they have.
They were a good enough team this year to win one, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, when you get placed at the four seed, I feel like they've usually been like the 8 or 9, and that's when you get like the TCU, Ohio State.
I was also not trying to go like top four, like one of those top four teams, like in each region to get eliminated. Like my upsets really came from like the 11 seeds, the 10 seeds, or the 12 seeds. But
speaking of upsets, who you got winning?
Which, like
the rest of the game?
Oh, the rest of the game? Rest of the tournament? Florida.
See, I think they're an upset. Like,
they got to run back to back. Well, not for the whole thing.
How do you feel about picking Florida?
The whole thing, I'm not going to do a whole upset. Like, I got to do the one of the ones. You got to be chalky with it.
I don't know. I got to feel like
money's on the line
when I do it. All right. Yeah. Money's on the line. Money comes and goes. You know, that dopamine hit when the team that's like, you know, 7 or up and you take them to win it all.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good madness.
He's just trying to say because he put UCLA.
Yeah, he's getting to 17 UCLA.
Listen,
winning
I think
it
they're
all.
A scrappy team. I think they've got it.
They're getting bounced second round to UConn, man.
We'll see.
Yeah, but any other like sneaky upsets you got in there, Henry?
I would have to take a look. I know I have. California Baptist. Winning?
Oh yeah, against Kansas.
Yep. Sorry, Griffin Stevenson. I know he's got Kansas winning it all.
Oh wow.
I got Arkansas making the Final Four.
Same.
No, that's not a crazy take, though. I like the take, but it's not a crazy take.
It's not crazy, yeah.
Well,
I feel like that's actually pretty popular. I mean, Brandon, behind the boards, that he also has that, and he's got them to the Final Four as well. So it seems pretty popular around here because I don't think anybody, like, people believe in Arizona, but, like, do they really believe in Arizona?
No.
I don't believe in Michigan.
I have them making the Final. They have the really easy run to the Final, I think.
Yeah, the way they lost to Purdue in the Big Ten is rough.
Well, we'll see what happens. First day of March Madness today, but we got to talk a little World Baseball Classic. Venezuela claiming their first title in World Baseball Classic history, beating USA 3-2 on Tuesday night. Guys, general thoughts from this game, USA and Venezuela?
I think it was USA's lack of run support for this team. Nolan McLean did everything in his power for this team. When he put up 2 runs, and I think he did about five and a half innings, and that's good. It's about a 2.5 ERA on average if you're going to go 9 innings. So when you're a pitcher, when you're a professional pitcher and you're playing against this Venezuela roster, that's great. I know I have a lot of qualms with Tarik Skubal about why he wasn't going to come back. And, you know, he was like, I should have. I felt bad. It's like you were still in the dugout. You wore a USA hockey jersey. Like, shake off the arm and go pitch for the team. But McLean did a great job, and I don't think the guys backed him up enough except for Harper's home run. So
I think the problem was the lack of just guys getting on base. I mean, you had Cal Raleigh and Kyle Schwarber on the team. You have the home run power, but you got to have guys that can just send it out to between center field and right and just try and make something happen.
Yeah, situational hitting, I think, is what you're getting at.
Yeah.
And when you start Byron Buxton in the final game over PC, I know it was a pitching matchup, but what happens like to playing a little small ball? Like DeRosa, I don't think DeRosa had any idea what to do going into this game.
I think DeRosa thought that they were playing game two the next day. Like, I don't think he knew like the rules of the tournament. He thought he had their ticket punched to the second round when they were playing Italy, and then they lost, and then they're like, uh-oh, and then they
just
sneaked through to the second round, or the knockout stage, and then not starting PCA, not starting Henry. I know you're a big fan of Gunnar Henderson, obviously, and he played great this tournament. I was in full support of him. Now going into the season, I won't be as much because he is an Orioles player. But he played terrific this postseason. I think you said batting 400.
He was batting 400.
Yeah, and he doesn't get a start in the final game.
1.267 OPS over these games. Yeah.
And PCA was also doing really good as well. He was a good guy in that back half of the lineup for USA. But, I mean, Austin, you said really no base runners for this USA team. They struggled to get any leadoff runners on. And it seemed like they were a very home run power lineup. So it was a lot of strikeouts. You saw Judge and Schwarber not really do good in the final. And then Harper, his 2-run home run. It was a great moment in the bottom of the eighth, but it seems like it could be getting forgotten because of Venezuela ended up winning the game.
Venezuela didn't even win in like a fun fashion either. Because what we brought in Garrett Whitlock and then David Bednar, and those are good pitchers. And Venezuela, not as good as the DR when it came to hitting. I mean, they were below us in the stats for the WBC, only hitting .261 for all the games,
yeah,
which is very respectable. That's why they made the finals. But you give up a home run, and like losing by 3 runs for this American team is like something to not be happy about. And I think the DR feels the same way when they lost to Japan because, yeah, they were facing Yamamoto, but that's the only guy they scored off of. And it's like, you guys were hitting so good. You had average team OPS of over 1 for the whole tournament. And then you go and lose by, you go to lose 2-1 to Team Japan. Not a bad thing at all to lose to Team Japan. But still, you lost 1 run. You're putting up 10 runs every game. I think as a USA fan, I feel the same way now as a lot of the DR players about like, no run support. The pitching did a lot. And a lack of run support is a problem. It also, like, I've had this conversation with my dad a lot, is super teams come into a problem because you lose, like, you think of a basketball team, you have, you know, your 1, your 2 are very specific types of players, and your 3 and your 4 are very specific types of players, and you put the big in the center because he's big. That's the same thing with a baseball roster. You have, you know, your best 3 hitters go first. You got your speed at the back of the lineup, and you put your fielders in the middle. Of course, you got like 1 or 2 arms starting, and you got a great bullpen. When you try to, you know, take pieces from different teams, you're taking the best of each team. And a lot of the best players have a lot of the best attributes. They hit hard. They swing and miss and strike out a lot. But, you know, it's the fact that they can hit the ball 450 feet that sets them apart. When you take all those players and put them on the same team, you run into issues because you can't just hit the ball 450 feet every time. That's when you leave people on base. That's when you don't give run support to your pitchers that are running this roster.
And it's crazy because the last time USA was in the WBC, it was the pitching that was the problem, and now they switch roles here, and the hitting's the problem. Only 2 runs in that final game, and when they beat DR, they still struggled. They only scored 2 runs in that game as well, but their pitching won that game. Skeens obviously pitching against the DR, Junior Caminero, the only one to hit a home run for the Dominican Republic. And then the bullpen shuts it down, which was another strong suit of this USA team. Seemed like they always could save the game when they needed to in that back half. Bednar, mentioned him, and Whitlock was pretty good until that last thing against Venezuela, and then Mason Miller. But I got to get your guys' take on this. I mean, going into that ninth inning against Venezuela, 2-2 in the top of the ninth, and Mark DeRosa brings out Garrett Whitlock instead of Mason Miller.
Well, like, it was, I think, I'm fine with that decision. I'm fine with that. It's it was decided for the, he's in the Padres, right, that he was only going to pitch games. Like, he's got a pitch limit right now. All these players have some kind of limit on them. They are professional players with a major league contract. And I think the MLB does trump the WBC here. As much as DeRosa's been wrong this tournament, I personally think he was wrong with the lineups for the last game. But bringing Mason Miller out was not the least of our worries. I think we had to save his arm for the team. He's one of the best closers in the game right now, probably top 3. So I'd rather him not get hurt. I'd rather, even though he's not on my team for the MLB, I'd rather a professional player not get hurt in the WBC.
I don't know if I fully agree with that, just because, like, this is the world final of the World Baseball Classic. This is everything. Everything's on the line. And it's not like the MLB season is, like, in a week. It's, like, a month away. Like, he could have pitched that inning and then, I don't know, sat for, like, a week or two, missed spring training or whatever, and then he would have been fine probably. But I do get it. Like, he didn't want to injure the guy. It's not the actual MLB, but I think you have to be a little bit more ballsy with the championship on the line and play the best guy that could, the best man for the job.
So if DeRosa brought out Mason Miller in that final game, if we were tied, if we were losing, what do you think the reaction to DeRosa would have been, like on a professional level?
It's still probably been like, wow, how is he? This guy's a real athlete. Like, how are you gonna ruin his arm or something? And there's
double,
no right decisions.
Double negative for DeRosa. He's just winning a losing battle here.
Managers just always take all the slander. Like, you got to get used to it. Like, if they had Aaron Boone, it probably would have been.
Well, I think it's worse with DeRosa because, like, he didn't know some of the situations too. Like, this, he's already getting heat because the 2 weeks ago when he thought they had their ticket punched to the knockout stage. So that kind of is not a good start. And then all the lineup decisions and then that pitching decision, that's kind of just like finding an excuse at that point. I think you could have honestly kept Griffin Jacks out. I think he was pitching the eighth inning. He was low on pitches because he got like a nice 1-2-3, so you could have kept him for the ninth inning instead of switching to Whitlock. And Whitlock's shown great stuff, so I mean, I don't know how much you can blame DeRosa there, but like, he did like get the first guy on like four pitches or something like that, and then eventually the hit to Eugenio Suarez. I still think Mason Miller was the probable choice to get it to the bottom of the ninth, what the Team USA lineup can do. But I don't know. It just, also, you can't win a baseball game when you score two runs almost like essentially every game.
Yeah, I'm very curious why there wasn't more excitement out of the team itself, like compared to how Venezuela and Mexico and the DR and Japan celebrated all their home runs and runs scored and big defensive plays. There was almost no equivalent to that on the USA side. Like, I just picture Roman Anthony's home run and just drop. And almost every other home run in this classic that was not the USA, there was a bat flip. There were people coming out of the dugout cheering it on. Like, I think that was maybe another issue with this team, is if DeRosa didn't have the spirit, so the team didn't have the spirit. If it didn't feel like they were here to. We weren't playing the same game as these other guys. We were just playing, oh, this is the WBC. Like, oh, yeah, you put on the USA and you play for the USA. Versus the Venezuelans were like, I am playing for my flag. I'm playing for my blood here. Feel the difference?
Yeah, I get that. Like, I also think a part of the problem was, again, I don't want to put everything on Judge, but Judge was kind of like, tell me if I'm wrong, but he was kind of the main man, like the captain, the leader of this USA team.
He's Captain America.
Yeah.
Captain Stoic,
and
too.
I think his kind of like nonchalant like attitude kind of like spread across. Like, I think if Bryce Harper was like the main man, everyone would be like, "Yeah, America."
But why not even Bobby Witt? Like, young,
yeah,
young
guy. Yeah.
But I think just because like Aaron Judge is the captain of the New York Yankees, and that's kind of what's gonna put him the captain of Team USA. It kind of does make sense.
MVP.
Yeah,
like,
MVP back to back years. Like, it makes sense why he's the captain. And as a Yankees fan, like, I like the decision. But yeah, it seemed like the energy was down from this USA team. Like, you see DR celebrating after like a sixth inning home run that put them ahead by like just two runs. The game wasn't over, but they were still going crazy. Everyone was out of the dugout in Team USA. I mean, you saw some emotion in that Bryce Harper home run, but obviously that went to waste. And just the energy around this USA lineup just like feel like they were just playing
like
an all-star game,
like,
in a sense.
Of fun,
yeah,
too, because and, like, taking off your silver medal is like, finally we're showing some emotion, but why now after losing?
Yeah, and Austin, you bring up a good point. Like, this is the final of the World Baseball Classic, and I think Aaron Judge said, like, the environment's much different than a World Series game too. Like, the World Baseball Classic, I mean, it was loud in that environment. You could hear just by listening to the game, and they're in tough environments, but it seemed like Team USA was kind of just like, we're going to prove it at the end, but then they ended up not proving it with their nonchalant attitude.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty easy, I think, for they got bailed out by Italy winning to make it. And then it was Canada, you know, easy win. Then
they had Skeens against the DR.
That was tough, but
it was a tough game.
We beat them 2-1.
Yeah.
Like, it's a win. But it's not a very commanding win. I mean, I think the DR was probably better than Team USA, and it was great that we beat them. But, you know, there are some non-MLB pitchers that we were facing. And, like, people say, oh, there was no scouting report on them. Like, how are these MLB hitters going to do against this guy that they've never seen before? Like, that Czechoslovakia guy pitching against the MLBers in Pool Z. But to be a pro, you got to adjust. Like, PCA did the best against Mexico, hitting two home runs.
Yeah.
So.
But another thing with this Team USA team, I don't know if you got picked up on this as much, but, like, I think most of their runs, like, every game came in, like, one inning. They never progressively scored throughout the game. Besides, like, their first game against Brazil, like, every other time it was, like, they had one big inning and that would really just, like, do it for them, and then the pitching would do the rest. But, like, DR, they had the homer from Gunner, and then Roman Anthony in one inning. That was the rest of it. Obviously, the Bryce Harper homer in that one inning as well. And in Canada, I mean, they had the runs in the earlier part of the game, and then Canada started mounting a comeback, and then Team USA holds them up, but they didn't give any insurance runs. So, I mean, this lineup really struggled, like, throughout most of the innings besides the one where they decided to click. And going from assembling the Avengers, and it was just probably one of the most disappointing exits for Team USA in World Baseball Classic history.
Yeah, shout out to Bryce Tarang, though. He started all but one game. And, like, 364 average, 937 OPS. Almost the highest total bases on the team behind Roman Anthony. Like, a guy for him to be batting eighth consistently on a team stacked with other players shows that, like, guys like Bryce Tarang can hang, because he's not by all means an S-tier player like Bobby Witt or Aaron Judge is. So I think we're going to talk about this soon, but, like, looking forward, like, let's get some of these younger guys that, like I was saying earlier, like, let's fit the pieces of the puzzle a little more than just taking, okay, Aaron Judge, MVP, Cal Raleigh, 60 home runs, great, cool, Bryce Harper, all-time great, and then you got, like, you know, you got Gunner, you got Paul Goldschmidt on the team, PCA for his speed,
Goldschmidt,
but, like, Bobby Witt, captain next year, or captain in 2030.
I can see it. I mean, who's the captain of the Royals? Is there anybody as the captain right now? You guys know or no?
I don't know, but what do you think about Paul Skeens to the Royals? Have you seen that
relationship? I saw that just because, like, Paul Skeens and Bobby Witt. I would love to see, like, that just because, like, that'd be so cool.
That would be,
like,
awesome.
Bobby Witt on the offensive side and Paul Skeens on the pitching side. Just because, like, they're two great players and you eventually want to see them get a ring eventually. Especially Paul Skeens, just because the situation's not great in Pittsburgh. So I would love to see, like, the two of them pair up.
Yeah, I personally don't think... I don't know the situation at all, but sometimes you hear about a good player making a trade or, like, asking for a trade. And Paul Skeens is good enough where he kind of doesn't need to ask for a trade. Teams will come to him first. He can go wherever he wants, and I have a feeling, just based on his personality and the way, like, I mean, he showed a lot of emotion by just smiling. That was too much from Paul Skeens. Just smile, Bobby.
You don't see that much from him.
And I mean, even his girlfriend was like, I think I just lost him to that. Yeah. I'm caught up in that relationship too much. But if he chooses to go to a team like Kansas City, then that takes a lot of, like, this looming lockout out of the picture, I think. Like, losing another big name to a big market team would not do good for the fans or the Players Association.
Yeah, so. I feel like if Paul Skeens goes to LA, I think his personality is just going to come more like, I don't know, like, what the
word
is.
He's a very business guy.
Yes, but, like, he's going to become even more business if he goes to L.A. Like, he's, like, it's going to be strictly business there. He's, like, going to come in, he's going to pitch his game in the World Series, and he's going to come in and pitch in four games later and do what he does, and it's going to be no emotion, really.
Now, if he stays with the Pirates, that's a different story. I think the Pirates have some contention coming up. They've got Connor Griffin coming up. You look at O'Neill Cruz, who's bound to have a bounce-back season. You've got Ryan O'Hearn on the roster now. They really just need some outfield gloves and, like, one more arm in the bullpen to be a decent team coming up. But that being said, I think the point I'm trying to get at is, like, that's where the WBC is really good, because you get players that don't play together often playing together. Not only that, they all have one thing in common, and that is, you know, they're all blood-related by their country and their flag. So I think Paul Skeens and Bobby Witt's the best example of that. I think Gunnar Henderson platooning for Alex Bregman is a good example of that, because, you know, you share a position, you share a glove. So not literally, but they're sharing.
I think you're making some good points there, especially with the pride that these guys play for in the same country. Like, you see the energy within, but basically every team but besides the USA. Everyone was really fighting together, and then you see some of those players on USA, like Skeens and Bobby Witt, like, just two great players getting along. And this Venezuela team, I mean, they showed that pride in the final, and on their road to the final, having probably one of the most impressive runs, I would say. I mean, they beat Japan in the first round of the knockout stage, and they beat a scorching hot Italy squad, and then take down USA. So they take down the top favorite teams in the tournament, along with Italy, who was playing with a lot of momentum. And I mean, what do you guys think of their chances in a couple of years at the next WBC? I think it's kind of a one and done for them, or
no? I think they're scary coming up. I think Willier Abreu was probably one of the top players on this team. Obviously, Churio will find his ground. Even Wilson Contreras, like I look at these guys, they're all under 30, and I'm looking at, you know, the USA and Japan, and most guys are 28 and above. I think a younger population in this, like I've said it before, and I'll just keep harping on it. A younger population in a WBC is good because, one, it attracts younger audiences to the game, which attracts more people to the MLB, which is great for everybody. And it promotes younger players to keep playing. It's like, yeah, I want to play for Venezuela. That's my favorite player because I resonate with him. And it's just more fun. Like, it's when USA had the Miracle on Ice. Those were all college kids. Like, I'm not saying we should do college kids in WBC. We'll get rolled. But, like, next time, let's maybe overlook some guys that don't have the best stats against, you know, non-MLB pitchers like Kyle Raleigh or Aaron Judge. Like, let's name Bobby Witt the captain. Let's build a young core and get some decent pitchers. I understand that everybody that played for Team USA, like, wanted to play, but when does a manager go and ask some players or the teams, like, hey, I want this guy because he fits into this scheme and he's young and he's feisty and he will celebrate a home run like it's the last home run you'll ever see?
Yeah, like, if you put like, I think Ben Rice, no bias, I think Ben Rice could have been a great fit for Team USA.
Great USA. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, back to that question, this year, I think it has shown that any team can really win it because you're going to default all USA because, you know, they got the best players or whatever. But we saw Italy got crazy hot this year. Like, who expected Italy? They were up 8-0 against USA in that one game.
Yeah. So until USA started almost batting to come back.
It's really, I feel like it's
anybody's game.
Yeah, really.
And you mentioned, like, kind of the young part of these teams, and that's better for the WBC. And I think the younger players provide a certain energy when they play as well. Like, Team DR, a lot of those guys, really young guys. You see Junior Caramano, who's one of their biggest offensive threats. I mean, guy's 21 years old. Then you got Vlad, who's a little bit more of a veteran now with that team. But, I mean, he's still on the young side. And Tatis as well, and J-Rod. And I think that the younger generation or some of those younger stars really need to step up for not only just Team USA, but the rest of the WBC in general can kind of create this madness in the fact that anybody can win the final, just like Venezuela just did.
Yeah, some say it's a March madness. WBC, but Team Italy, I think they have what every other team had, and it's just the USA didn't, and that was the team spirit. When there's chemistry involved in baseball, like you played better when you play together, and when the guy hitting before you is hitting well, you're gonna start hitting well because you want to keep that going. And plus, I think it kind of, there's just some mental translation there, like, ah, I see him, and now, like, I can see this pitcher too, so. More guys on the same team, that would be good, even though DR is all spread out. But
you could just, like, the whole LA Dodgers out there and then
yeah,
right, something different.
I mean, I don't know what the lineup would be down in 4 years, but I mean, we can kind of take a somewhat of a preview at it. I mean, you know that Bobby Witt's likely going to return. Gunnar Henderson, I think, would as well. I think Paul Skeens would as well. I think, despite not pitching as much in this tournament, I think Skubal would want to come back, and I hope he does pitch more than one game, but I think he would. And then Paul Skeens, definitely, I just mentioned him. I think he would pitch a lot more games, or not a lot more games, but the bigger games in a sense.
Yeah, I think we'll see some prospects too. Like, I'm sure we'll see Connor Griffin.
People like Nick Kurtz on there too.
Yeah, Nick Kurtz, yeah.
Absolutely. Jacob Wilson, definitely. Even platooning. Yeah. I don't want to see Bregman anymore. Like, I think
he'd be out of it by then.
Maybe like James Wood too. Like,
sure.
Wyatt, like, Langford from Texas, I think, too, in that left field spot.
One season wonder. That's what I think.
Brandon ain't gonna like that one.
No, I think there's some contribution to have a few good seasons before WBC to, like, get your name out there. I don't know if during the MLB season guys will be thinking about it, so maybe it's on the guys now, like, to be like, oh, like, as a young Oriole hitter, I see this star of the team, Gunnar Henderson. Oh, he played for Team USA. I want to play for Team USA. Like, I want to go fight for USA. Let's win back our honor. We're 1-2 in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I mean, there's going to be a lot of those younger guys. I don't really know what the prospect list looks like. Obviously, you mentioned the second baseman from the Pirates. And what the rest of this rotation would look like, I imagine also Garrett Krzyzewski can maybe get thrown in there as well. PCA would definitely, I think, want to come back. And I think just this Team USA kind of needs to reset their identity when it comes to the World Baseball Classic. Because I think they baseball is a very popular sport throughout the world. But, I mean, I think the U.S. thinks that, you know, baseball is what should be primarily, like, more popular in the U.S. And they have a lot of good players surrounded throughout these 50 states. And they're definitely going to try and come back like what hockey did when they lost to Canada last year, and then they came back in the Olympics and they did that. I think USA is going to try and follow the same format, you know, losing back-to-back, one to Japan, one to Venezuela, same score actually, 3-2. And I think they're just going to try and reset their identity, bring a load of prospects. And I think what really works for a team is getting a lot of guys that can put the ball in play rather than getting those home run hitters.
Yeah, and honestly, like, it sounds counterintuitive, but that could take like an older manager, older than DeRosa. Like, let's get like Terry Francona out there because he knows what situational bunting is. Like, he's been through that generation of small ball. So I think that's useful for USA. We are, like, statistically a very fast team with PCA and Gunner and all these players. So getting more guys on base will be more beneficial than just getting, you know, all the silver sluggers in the league.
I'm a big fan of the bunt, actually.
Yeah.
I was a good bunter back in the day.
Certified bunter.
Yeah. I was apparently, my coach told me that I was the best bunter in town. So
that, you know, take it like a compliment.
I've got high honors, yeah. Man. High honors.
Wear it like a badge.
I definitely think you could go for Ancona and get some experience. Somebody that can know the situation, lay down and get some guys to lay down a bunt rather than getting the home run ball going. I mean, I was saying this before. I feel like I was watching the Yankees again because it was kind of like the same format. Like, you're losing throughout the majority of the game. Someone gets a big home run. All of a sudden, you're back in it. And then they just blow it in the end. And then ninth inning, when you need someone on base, you go 1-2-3 to a guy that's throwing 100 miles per hour.
And yeah, I think it's everything they've seen before, too, which is the yucky part. Striking out to end the game is what we did last time with Mike Trout. I think a big mistake would for Team USA to do what the Yankees are doing and not make any changes to what they did. Because I think anybody can look and be like, something needs to change after watching that. Because it wasn't good baseball.
No.
Now you kind of threw that thought in my head. I'm getting scared that USA is going to do that and they're going to like not change a thing and they're going to roll out with the same team. Like, oh, they were just on a cold streak. But yeah, the Yankees did absolutely like nothing in the offseason.
Ryan Weathers,
who's, don't get me wrong, it's a good move, I think. I think he could be like good on the bottom of the rotation, but I feel like you got to add to this team with the Dodgers always adding talent. I know they're on the other side of the league, and you have to deal with Toronto and Boston first, but, I mean, you still got to add some players. I feel like it's also not over for the Yanks. They could definitely get someone at the middle of the trade deadline, but I hope USA does not take the same approach and they try and go a different route. And, you know, they see the guys hitting the big home runs like Cal Raleigh, and obviously, and I don't want to hate on him, but Aaron Judge, like, hitting the big home runs, but get guys that are going to deliver for you in the big moments and get on base when you need them to as well. Although Aaron Judge did do really good defensively in the tournament.
Sure, well, you can't look past the glove.
I think that kind of raises the question, like, do you guys think that Judge and Harper would be back still playing by 2030?
I don't think Harper would. I could see Judge as a DH.
If they don't win a World Series by then, maybe.
Will they, though?
No.
Probably not. I could see one of them as a DH, maybe.
How much like longer does Harper have left in this league?
Yeah. And I think Judge, he'd be out of his prime by then, but I think just because he'd still be captain of the Yankees and like he's still
Harper's
one of the most popular names in baseball.
Harper's 13 years. His contract's up 2031. For the Phillies.
So he might run it back. But
he
like,
could, but he's
not going to be at first base.
Yeah.
I could low-key see Kurtz. Kind of like a Clayton Kershaw type role. Just like
okay, yeah.
Spot appearances. Like
vibes guy.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Kershaw was there to kind of be like guide the younger generation a little bit. It's good to have an old arm.
He also just was like, while the games was going on, he was having a beer too. Like,
he said it was empty.
He said it was empty.
Don't hurt my king.
But, I mean, I could see Judge, like, coming back, and I don't know if they put him back in that captain slot, but, I mean, he's still going to be the captain of the U.S., and I think maybe you just give him a DH role, so, because I don't think he'd be as good defensively by then, and I think you'd have a lot of guys that could play that defensive role that he does now. Although he did really good. I mean, he threw, like, two runners.
Yeah,
but
he was great.
The narrative that Judge isn't clutch, I want to get your guys' input on this. I mean, obviously the hitting wasn't great, but he still batted, I think it was, like, roughly 250 on the tournament. But, like, obviously in those big elimination games we didn't see as much. But, like, the defensive side, he was great for this U.S. squad.
I'm a big stat head. And surprisingly, the WBC, like, I guess stats team didn't do any, like, expanded stats, like XWOBA or OPS Plus or anything like that. So we can't look, like, numbers-wise how he did with people on base or anything like that. So just going off of what you see, I'm kind of 50-50 on it because there's a lot of people that say, oh, this is what he does in the MLB. He just hits homers off of, like, future electricians, and that's why he gets his numbers up because every other time he faces a good pitcher, it's usually just a single or a ground out or double play or whatever like that. In the WBC, I think it's normal. It's obvious. It's, of course, I'm never mad at somebody for striking out swinging, and Judge struck out swinging almost every time he struck out. But he did strike out a lot, and it was very unlike him. There's cold streaks for every player. There's ruts for every player, you know, size of the peanut or whatever. But if you're going to be the captain, I do think you have to step up and at least try to put the ball in play. Like, hit the ball hard. It doesn't have to be a hit every time, but, like, show the guys that, like, yeah, this pitcher's nothing. You guys got this.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't really remember Mike Trout when he was captain last time for Team USA, like, have a big moment, and we kind of didn't see the same thing from Judge. I mean,
it's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, he had a home run, like, to start off the WBC, and then he hit another one a couple games later, but then going down the line, DR, like, he didn't really have anything, and then obviously against Venezuela, went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, and then in those times where he had runners on base, didn't really seem to get the big hit for Team USA, and it's really weird, because obviously, that narrative has been in play for a while with Judge, but after last year's postseason, I mean, batted, like, around 500, I think, right, Austin? I think something
yeah,
like that.
It was, I mean, I don't know, 524 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, like, not the exact, but, like,
yeah, something around that.
Something, like, crazy and absurd. Like, so going into this WBC, you have a lot of optimism for Aaron Judge, more than you would expect out of him because of his last postseason performance, and then gives, like, a 250, which is kind of what his rookie numbers were in terms of batting average. And I don't know, I mean, I don't want to say he's not clutch, but I mean, those big moments, it's really tough to defend him, and it seems like everyone's just looking for, like, him to strike out, and then they give that narrative. But defensively, I mean, he was there for the U.S.
Absolutely. And you can't look at, like, he was co-leading the team in walks. You can't look at walks in the WBC because of the pool play. Like, we won a game off of walks, so I'd like to see more out of it. If you're going to be put in that captain position, you got to, like, I think you got to, like, go into it. Like, yeah, I'm the captain. Let's do this, guys. Rally behind me.
Yeah, I get the slander, like, but it's also Team USA. You have a super team. Can't somebody else, like, why?
Yeah, you'd expect, like, at least someone.
Somebody else should get hot. Like, the team was nuts, and it's all, I get it, he's the captain, but, like, Who was before him? It wasn't, like, Schwarber or somebody after.
Schwarber was right after. But that's another thing. It's like, everyone's, like, saying, oh, Judge struck out in the end to lose to Italy. But, like, those first, what, 6 innings, nobody was stepping up. Nobody's getting a hit. Like, Judge cannot hit a home run every single at bat.
Yeah.
Like, that's what people expect out of him now. Like, you're just putting too much pressure on Aaron Judge at this point. Like, you're expecting him to hit a home run every at bat. And you have a whole bunch of other guys in the lineup who haven't stepped up. I mean, there's some that have stepped up. But, I mean, even Gunnar Henderson said, not hitting-wise, but, like, when he threw out Tatis in the DR game, Gunnar Henderson, like, said that hyped up the team, and that's kind of what you expect out of your captain. That's what Judge gave them defensively. So the narrative that Judge isn't clutch, it's confusing in a sense. I don't know.
It's plausible, but I think it's really just because he's the captain, he's on the Yankees. But
yeah.
I get the narrative when he's on the Yankees, because who else? Stanton, Bellinger, but
yeah.
I just don't want to see, like, if Bobby, I'd put money on Bobby Witt being the next captain. I don't want to see the same thing happen where he kind of, like, doesn't have a good WBC. Like, keep your momentum going, be the captain of the team, and, you know, take him far.
But I think with the thing with Bobby Witt is he's got contact all around. He's a good contact hitter, and he's good defensively. I mean, besides Judge, he was probably one of the better defensive players as well. I mean,
I'd say he was the best.
Guy was making the defensive sliding. It was acrobat. all over the infield, basically, or not only the infield, but all over the grass in the outfield, and just throwing people out from the outfield. So, I mean, be interested to see what this team looks like down the road in 4 years. But opening day in about a week, Yankees-Orioles, I'm excited for that one to kick us off. But for now, that's going to do it for our World Baseball Classic Talk and this week's edition of Nosebleeds. For Henry Olth and Austin Ashantino and behind the boards and Brandon Troy, I have been Anthony Smith. Bobby Ciafardini is our sports director, and Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.